The Shooters Podcast has reloaded and is back on the air, sharing shooting information, facts, and opinions of the shooting sports, the shooting industry, and shooting news. I'm your host. My name is Rick. Welcome to the Shooters Podcast. I'll jump around a little bit in this episode. I was talking with someone recently about the cost of guns. And we basically came back to the fact that most of the time when it comes down to how great a particular gun is, it comes down to the shooter, because the most accurate rifle or handgun in the hands of someone who jerks the trigger has pretty poor sight alignment, it's just not going to perform up to the abilities of the firearm. And that's the case with most things. You know, if you've got a really poorly adjusted tools, it's going to be hard on a woodworking project or a construction project to come out with something that's perfectly square and all the lines meet up just the way they're supposed to, because your tools are in pretty sad shape and they're just not really adjusted and working well. They're a little loose, so your blade isn't quite cutting square, those types of things. It's hard to come out with a quality product. That's the same in the shooting sports. And when it comes down to an accurate rifle, if you have a rifle that's in sad shape, maybe that barrel's actually a little loose, all the bolts are tightened up that hold it in, your trigger's sloppy, a lot of play in it, you can probably shoot it fairly accurately, but it's not, you could put the best shooter behind it, he's not going to have his best day shooting a gun that's out of whack. And that's what it comes down to when it talks about expense. If you have an inexpensive rifle that has decent tolerances and it's the trigger's tight, the barrel's straight, all those simple things, the sights are actually sighted in and adjusted and they're not loose and drifting a little bit out every time you fire a shot, have a little recoil. You know, you can probably have a pretty tight group and you can shoot really well. I remember an instance where it literally came up within 2 days. I did not have a decent air rifle to take to a rifle course. And they said they had all the actual firearms. And this was over 20 years ago. And I just needed an air rifle real quick to go and go through this rifle course. And then I'd be certified for both rifle and for air rifle and 22 rifle. And in the end, centerfire rifle. But I only had 2 days notice, and I thought, well, I can't go buy a new gun, and I'm not big on borrowing guns, at the range, sure, but not for taking away for, going through a course. So I just went up to Walmart and bought a $39 Crossman air rifle and thought, I just need to get through the course. I need to go through the mechanics. And that's what it comes down to with the principles and the mechanics, and that's what we're going to learn to teach people and how to go through all the motions and so forth. So it's all I really needed. That was the bare minimum. So I showed up with that, and it was a good course. Learned a lot of the fundamentals and the principles of good shooting. And as almost always in every class, it comes down to a little bit of competition. And, I mean, that's fine. I enjoy competition. It's always fun. You get to see some nice guns, some good shooting. And one person there had a rifle that he wanted to brag on it a little bit. And it was a $1,500 air rifle that was an Anschutz competition rifle. Very nice looking rifle. Had aluminum or a composite, some type of fancy stock on it that was lightweight. And he had some inflatable rests. and some standing rests that he could put out. And they wanted to have a little competition at the 50-foot mark as to which was going to be the tightest group. And I'm like, okay, certainly that's a good one. So they put the targets out there, and he said, of course, because of the weight of his rifle, really standing isn't a good position for him, so he needed to lay down. And of course, if he's laying down, he needed to use his rifle rest. And so that was fine. And I mean, I really didn't have a lot of hope, as you say, to beat someone with my $39 Crossman air rifle. But I knew the sights were on, because I'd fired it over the weekend and using it during the course, that it was shooting straight. So we fired a 3-shot group, and I came in at 1/4 inch, and he and his $1,500 rifle, which I expected all 3 shots to be in a single hole, came in a little over 3/8. And so I had beat him on that competition with my $39 rifle. And 4 people came up to me afterwards and asked me, what was that rifle and where did you get it and how much did it cost? And I told them, each person what it was. And I could tell that me sharing that information just kind of irked the other guy with the expensive rifle that much more. But, that's the fact. You can get yourself a real cheap Taurus when they were first being made and they weren't the most prized or accurate handgun out there, a Taurus revolver. And you can go up against a Colt Python. That's a very tightly made, very smooth shooting gun. But it comes down to how's your trigger squeeze, how's your breathing, how's your sight picture. Can you hold those sights in alignment while you're squeezing the trigger? I mean, it comes down to those simple things. And, do you know the firearm very well? Do you know when that trigger is going to break? Even that's a little bit beside the point, because if you're using good trigger control, it doesn't really matter when the trigger breaks. You wouldn't be anticipating it anyways if you've got good trigger control and your sight alignment holds. So the principles never change. And the mechanics or the how you handle it isn't going to change so much if you know you've got a sloppy trigger, or you have some sights that aren't always on. You have to adjust for that. Some Kentucky windage occasionally. You're going to go, I know this thing shoots high into the right and I can't get the sights to adjust, so I'm going to shoot low into the left and see where it lands. So those things, some of that never changes. It helps if you're using a shotgun, because there's a little bit of play in the accuracy of a shotgun. So it always gets me when people say, well, I've got to have decent sights on that shotgun. And I just kind of thinking to myself, I don't know if you're shooting slugs at 100 yards. I'm not sure why you really need shotguns or sights on your shotgun, but there are reasons for it. So, but I can usually tell with the person saying that they really don't understand all the principles of shotgun shooting. They just want something that looks cool. And of course, if there's sights available, they've got to have them. And that's fine too, because you want to be comfortable with whatever you're shooting. And if it has everything on it you think it needs, you'll feel better about the gun. So that's all the better. I mean, it's the same as a vehicle. If it's got the tires you want and the shocks you want and the motor you want and enough seats, you'll be happy with it. So just about anything can be customized. And once you decide that you have to have X, Y, and Z on your firearm, you're not going to be 100% satisfied until you do. And once you do have X, Y, and Z on it, and you start shooting it a lot, you're reminded just how expensive the ammo is. So very recently there was the shooting in Denver. Those different massage parlors. Any shooting of innocent people anywhere is terrible. it's tragic. You got somebody who now they're finally coming out to say this, basically he's had mental problems for a long time. And that's the problem with crazy people, is they do crazy things. And you've got this guy who purchased a firearm. They say he got it 6 days before the shooting, and that he had gone through the background process. Well, being crazy doesn't, even though that's one of the questions on the government 4473 form that says, you know, are you a mental, basically, are you a mental patient? Are you crazy? And if you just check no, it's going to go right through on the computer and nothing's going to be flagged. People don't realize that if somebody has mental issues and are being treated by a doctor, that there is no way that any of that information is even available to another system that wants to check on that. That information is confidential, it's private, and in some cases it's only on a doctor's computer in his office. It's never going to show up on a background, hardly ever. The information that people think will keep the crazy people from getting guns is not available out there. And then if you just answer, no, I'm not crazy, on a piece of paper, you would be able to legally purchase the gun. Yes, it's not really legal because you did lie on the form. But of course, if you're crazy, you may not realize you're crazy because, we're back to the bottom line. You're crazy. So, and on the other side of that, so it makes it a crime for him to buy a gun. But the biggest part of this is it's a crime to kill people. I don't care what you're using. And if you go through the motions to purchase a firearm and fail because you tried to do it through a dealer and you got your background didn't come through and they said you were denied, and you go down to the Home Depot and buy a crowbar and a hammer and choose to use those tools to go out and commit murder, you're still a criminal committing murder. And you've seen the advertisements, if you've been to a Home Depot, where they've got a truck in the parking lot with Home Depot written all over it and says, rent this truck for $19.95 a day or an hour or something like that. And you rent that truck and you could go mow down people on the sidewalk like they've done in the parks. And I believe it was in New York a few years ago where someone rented a car from a local big box store and drove it down the pedestrian pathway and ran over bicyclists and pedestrians. People who are crazy and want to do evil things we'll find a way to do those crazy and evil things. And it's a sad truth that the only people who can stop them are other people. You've seen videos of people, someone trying to snatch a child in a park or at a playground somewhere, and someone intervenes and grabs the kid or tackles the person, and they prevent the person, the child, from being kidnapped right there on the spot. You know, that's how things get prevented most of the time, is someone has to step in. Even in this shooting in Denver, a police officer responded. You know, he's there, he's got the training, he's got the firepower. But the other thing is, he's there in a distinctly marked vehicle, and he's showing up in a uniform that sets him aside, just literally visually from everybody else, and makes him a target as soon as he shows up on scene. And partly that is his job, to get there and defuse the situation or get the person who wants to kill other people to distract them and get them to stop doing it. And this officer paid with his life. He got shot and killed. However, in the end, he did distract the killer for a short time, probably saved lives in doing that and making the shooter move his attention to the officer and not to some unarmed, defenseless person in the store that he could have continued to be shooting at. Now, he did kill people. I don't know if he killed them after the officer, but eventually I think the bad guy was shot in the leg. He gave up, and now he's in custody on a charge of 10 counts of murder. And people say, well, how could this have been prevented? And nobody wants to hear the good guy with a gun logic behind this. But had one of those customers had a pistol with them, I wouldn't say rifle because that's a little hard to carry that, especially concealed, but if you had a pistol and someone started shooting in the store, Once you got your bearings as to what is actually happening, that person could shoot the bad guy. And maybe he wouldn't kill him outright, but I'm sure that person would now become distracted. There was a mall shooter about 5-6 years ago that started to open fire in a mall, and a guy pointed a gun at him who had a concealed weapons permit, and the bad guy immediately put his gun under his chin and killed himself. He was going to shoot at people right up to the point that he basically got resistance, and he saw someone else had a gun and was going to shoot at him, and he killed himself before he had hit anybody. He had shot at people, but he'd missed, and as soon as he came up against resistance, he killed himself in that case. In this case, we don't know. Well, we do know that the person was shot in the leg, and the shooting or the crime spree ended. We don't know the whole picture yet. It's too soon. It's only been a couple of days. However, laws are already in place that make it illegal to kill people, to shoot and hurt them. It's all illegal already. You know, people start talking about what laws could we pass? What could we make illegal? Well, laws don't stop crazy. You know, the media is constantly fanning the flames of whatever their narrative is about an issue or about an incident. They're currently putting more pressure on the Biden administration about gun control, asking the questions about it. There's some Democratic senators putting pressure on Biden about potential using executive orders for certain gun control. So Biden has come out and he's made requests for gun control of the Senate and legislation. And his press secretary, Psaki, she floats the executive order is on the table. Okay, so that's supposed to make people think that they're planning something or that they're going to think about doing something. So if somebody wants to bargain over a bill, now's the time to do it. Well, the House passes bills H.R. 8 and 1446, and then they try to knock out the filibuster and they fail because they know that wouldn't get through. Then the media starts to admit that these bills won't pass the Senate because they also do nothing to really prevent crime anywhere. That was pretty much a given, but it just looked good on paper. Even the sponsors of the bill say it's not going to pass the Senate. So all their efforts and whatever money spent on that H.R. 8 and 1446 was a waste. There's already counter bills being introduced into the Senate to try and get ahead of them. And Feinstein wants another ban on the ARs, assault rifles. And apparently that's DOA. That's not going anywhere. Right now, I don't think the public sentiment on gun control is nearly as strong as the political sentiment. They're trying to make something happen, but I think people are starting to realize that the laws don't really stop the bad guys. Schumer says that there will be a vote, but they won't even schedule one. So they basically say they're telling people what they want them, what those people want to hear. But they're not, you know, it's not really getting put into motion. And there's other political leadership, in this case on the Democratic side, that starts to float the idea that the bill needs to be done incrementally in small piece-by-piece legislation. And this can work in some areas. I know that it worked in California, where they were out to ban open carry on just about everything, and they couldn't get any traction. And then they wanted to ban, well, actually what happened is some people decided they were going to exert their right, their Second Amendment rights to open carry. And what they did was they very publicly open carried, and with their handguns on their hips, because it wasn't done very often in California. Really, hardly anywhere. And some cities had rules against it. So The ones that didn't have any rules against it, these groups of people who were for open carry and supporting the Second Amendment basically made sure that they all got together. So 10 of them would walk into a restaurant wearing guns. And, well, that was kind of weird for some people. They're like, I haven't seen this before. Once in a while, you might see a guy with a gun on his hip or a gal. And, you know, you go, they're carrying a gun. And then you'd see now all of a sudden 10 people come in together, all sit together, and they're all carrying guns. And they scared people. And then when they were confronted by it, they would get loud and they would get in people's face and they scared some more people. And in the end, the people who were a little upset by this were able to get some politicians to pass a ban on open carry of handguns in public in California. Well, immediately one victory gave birth to another bill just literally before the ink was dry, and that was to ban the open carry of rifles and shotguns, long guns. And that passed no problem. Why? Because they had just passed the handgun bill. And why did they do that? Because some people who thought that they would just exert their kind of their in-your-face Second Amendment rights as a group, and they came together and they scared some people, so they passed a law against it. Well, you know, if you wanted to scare people by waving a big ugly stick in their face every day, even though it might be legal to wave that ugly stick in their face every day and swing it and just miss them, hey, I wasn't trying to do anything. I wasn't assaulting you. I'm just hanging out here. You just happen to walk up next to me while I'm swinging my stick around. Pretty soon there's going to be a law against swinging that stick around or even carrying that stick because you're scaring people and someone's afraid someone's going to get hurt. You know, maybe someone says if you want to have a right, you don't have it unless you express the right or exert the right, or in this case, put that right out there in someone's face. It's not anti-Second Amendment to say be smart. And it's not anti-Second Amendment to say, don't scare people with guns. However, not everybody, you know, follows that line of thinking. And they do things that, okay, I think were stupid. And I think they were reckless. And they got some laws passed because they scared people with their guns. And I think they felt that they were victims because the law got passed and they couldn't wear their guns in public anymore. And I can almost guarantee almost none of them ever wore their guns in public unless they were, till they became part of this little group that wanted to really exert that Second Amendment and let people know they're out there and show off their guns. And they did it in a manner that scared people and got it banned. So that's how some of these some other states have passed bans on open carry of guns or long guns and such because other groups of protesters, brought their assault rifles and everything and put on their little, their vests and all their, what they like to call their kit, even though, we won't get into any lack of military service on any of them, but it was definitely from a good video game that they had once played. They got all their stuff on and they ran around and they scared people. And so they got those, didn't take much for those legislators in those states to pass a law to ban them from doing that. Because when people do things that are stupid and they're reckless and they're scary, it's not too hard to pass a law against it. But now you've got, you know, leadership saying that they need to get a victory. Just, you know, piece by piece legislation. They want a symbolic victory over the NRA. That in itself is a little scary, that a political group, a party in America, wants to go after a private organization, let alone one that's been around a couple hundred years, that says, the National Rifle Association. I mean, they are the longest standing civil rights organization. They train more people every year than anyone else in firearm safety. They train more police officers. Yes, almost all the police training comes through the NRA, or at least following the NRA model. So, I mean, they got 5 million members. They are the only ones that are out there across the nation defending the Second Amendment. And, you know, with good cause. There are people everywhere, whether it's Rourke or Biden or anybody else, saying they want to take all your guns. You know, an armed society is a polite society, but it's also a society that can't be bullied very easily. But they are after the NRA. So regardless of somebody's personal feelings about the National Rifle Association, they're the ones out there training in safety and responsible gun ownership. There are other organizations, whether it's your own state's version of California's the Rifle and Pistol Association or Gun Owners of America, those different organizations, most of them will work locally. And I can't say that I've seen a lot out of the NRA in California other than some of their fundraising. But they have the best training, and they put out the most training. They have the most instructors. I mean, California, again, not a great model because it is so far left that it doesn't matter how much money that the NRA would try and dump into California. They're not going to change those laws, and that's unfortunate. But that's basically what happens when you allow crazy people to start running the asylum. And that's where it's at here in California, because they think they are so bent on their thinking that they want everybody to be totally defenseless. And, I mean, that's just, well, that's just crazy. So, because California itself is a very large state, but it's controlled by the LA County, the LA area there, and the San Francisco Bay Area. That's where the concentration of the population of this state is, and so they have the most representatives in each form of government, and they pass laws in those areas that aren't just for Los Angeles city limits, that aren't just for the San Francisco Bay Area. They affect the entire state. And there's places in California that are as agriculturally diverse as Montana or Texas. It does not, it doesn't mean that they all grow avocados or they're all in the almond business and other major crops in California. No. There we have, in my area, big cattle ranches. They've got some vineyards. They've got orchards of every type. It's mostly an agricultural county. They've got, in just one county over, they have more people living in a single apartment complex than they do within 5 miles of my house right now. But that's, some areas of California are very sparsely populated, and they have a different lifestyle. But a lot of the laws that get passed are put out there by people living in very densely packed cities where certain things seem to make sense to them. But then they want to apply that same law to everybody in the state. There's been a number of district attorneys in the LA area and even San Francisco that during the elections, and also some other border states, they were heavily backed financially by George Soros, the communist American hater. Those district attorney victories created chaos and widespread crime for a lot of citizens in those areas. Individuals like Warnock and even now ex-President Obama are calling for common sense gun reform. So is that 2018-2019 common sense? So here we are in 2021. And to me, it's common sense that everybody carries a concealed firearm, and you know, be a lot less victims out there, and criminals would be the ones who are scared to do their crime for fear someone might pull out a gun and shoot them in self-defense. And these groups are trying to go the moderate route now for gun control. So they've got these organizations that are pushing they're pushing bills and they're pushing points to the gun-grabbing politicians. One of the sources of these the pushes is an organization, Giffords.org. They're calling themselves now, or at least they're claiming that it's a Gun Owners for Safety. Safety is the new buzzword. So Giffords.org says that now if you make it sound more reasonable, Gun Owners for Safety, of course everybody's going to be on board. So the motto of Gun Owners for Safety is, we can prevent gun violence while also supporting the Second Amendment. Gun Owners for Safety unites hunters, sport shooters, and collectors who want common sense gun laws. Well, I can say that most gun owners would agree that there's enough gun laws. Let's try enforcing the laws against violent criminals. They use, on their website, they say that 38,000 people die every year from gun violence. Well, that number didn't used to be 38,000. Well, if you mention the 8,000 homicides, the vast majority of which are gang-related, criminal killing, criminal gang homicides, of those 8,000, the headline is drastically reduced from the 38,000. 60 to 70% of that 38,000, unfortunately, are suicides. It's tragic, however. It's not criminal violence against others. And they have a graph, which I thought was interesting, but it didn't make a lot of sense. It was talking about how they grade the different states based on their gun law strength and their gun death rate. So they give California an A because it's number one in the United States for the strength of its gun laws, meaning very strict gun laws. And it's 44th out of gun deaths. Now, it doesn't break that down. So it could be any number of ways that you could put that together. However, even though the homicide rate in California is growing and increasing every year for the last 20 years, they still get an A from this organization with the way they put together their statistics. So it says that the stronger the gun laws, the fewer the gun deaths. That's not true. I mean, they have on their chart, they have Maryland graded as an A because it has very strict gun control laws. However, their deaths are higher than 10 other states that have more lax gun laws. And for that reason, those states get graded as an F just because of their gun laws, but they have less people being killed by guns. See, these types of charts and representations can be twisted into any narrative desired on the, if you're basically wanting to say guns are bad and more laws are good and that type of thing. But the bottom line is criminals don't follow laws. If a criminal goes down to any major city, asks around, they can buy a gun that afternoon for cash or a trade in drugs or anything else they want, usually stolen goods, and they get a gun. No background check. No one cares about what the serial number is on it or anything. It doesn't have to be a ghost gun. They can get a gun and then they can commit a crime. Why is there no regulation on the... there are regulations. That's right. They're breaking the law when they first start... basically working a deal to get a gun illegally. So the criminals, if they're out to kill somebody, like these mass shooters, I don't think that their first concern is a misdemeanor or an administrative violation of lying on a form, or even if it turns out to be a felony. They're not worried about the crime that they're committing, obtaining the firearm, when their ultimate goal is to take a human life. That's kind of the laws that they broke to get there are the really not the important thing. The important thing is that they're planning to kill somebody, and if somebody else has a gun there, they can stop them. It is possible. And it was just on an online conversation I had for a comment I had to make on today. Basically, one person says that, well, if someone had had a gun during that, it would probably have been worse. Because people who don't get trained to conceal carry, don't understand the principles of self-defense, when they think about it truly, they think that if someone pulls out a gun and shoots at people randomly and indiscriminately, and they're shooting defenseless victims, if one of those victims happens to pull a gun out, this person thinks that all that person's going to do is blindly start firing in every direction, like some kind of crazy person. And that would be a bad thing. But I don't think that they even understand the concept of, look, that guy's got a gun, he's shooting at those innocent people, my goodness, you pull out your gun, say stop, he doesn't, and you shoot that person. And that's the end of the event. I don't see why that's such a hard concept. If they say, well, every time someone pulled a gun out, all they did was fire randomly into the crowd themselves, yeah, they would kind of be adding to the problem. And also, they'd be breaking many laws, and they'd be creating a much worse situation. But that's generally not what concealed carry individuals do. There was one recently in a church where a person came in and shot somebody and went on to shoot another person, aimed it at him, and the person who had a concealed gun pulled it out and shot them. One shot and killed them. And that was the end of that threat. So that was the picture-perfect scenario where someone with a gun interrupted a crime of someone shooting multiple people. So these are the concepts that seem foreign. They seem to like bounce off of people who say, well, nobody should be carrying guns. I agree that not everybody should be carrying guns, because some people are crazy. But I think that if more people had guns out there, more crimes would be prevented, more lives would be saved, and overall, that's just a good thing, to save lives and keep crime from being committed. You have a good time. Have a good weekend. We'll talk again soon. That's it for this episode. Thank you for downloading, listening, and subscribing to the Shooters Podcast. Please visit my website at shooterspodcast.com and read and share my shooting blog.